Hi, I'm Sophie, Marketplace Risks AI Assistant. Welcome to Series 9 of the Platform Podcast, hosted by Marketplace Risk founder Jeremy Gottschalk. The Platform Podcast features marketplace and digital platform founders and leaders sharing valuable lessons that can be leveraged to help you successfully launch and grow. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not professional advice. For specific issues, please seek an appropriate professional or contact us at info@marketplacerisk.com for a referral.
Welcome to the Platform Podcast. On this episode, I'm joined by Garen Evans, Senior Vice President at Informian. Garen and I are going to be talking about one of the hottest topics in trust and safety and compliance, regulatory risk and legal. I don't know if I missed anything, which is age verification. We will discuss in detail why age verification is such a hot topic. Garen, it's a pleasure to have you on the Platform Podcast.
Oh, Jeremy, thank you for including me.
Absolutely. So we've got a lot to cover, and I don't want to leave any stone unturned, so let's dive right in. First question, talk to me about age verification. What is age verification, and why does it matter?
Absolutely. And, you know, globally, companies and governments and regulators are struggling with what to do. In the old days, and I mean 20 years ago, we thought we would use the internet with anonymity. We would be able to interact with each other and with businesses, and we wouldn't have to disclose anything about ourselves. But increasingly, we realize that for both protection reasons, there are populations, including children, that we want to protect from access to content or goods. In addition to, we want to prevent fraud and privacy concerns. So regulators have stepped in. And businesses have decided to conduct themselves in particular ways where identity verification and age verification is required. So the industries haven't come together yet and decided on technology standards and then standards on what to do. So regulators are stepping in and defining that, in the U.S. in particular and in other markets on what companies have to do.
How are they doing this practically speaking? How are they verifying age?
Yeah. Well, let's start with what businesses are we talking about? Because it's not a monolith. And age verification has different conditions and different solutions across the market. So let's start with what markets are we talking about? We're looking at online dating, streaming and different media companies, video gaming. So that includes being able to access video games where there are in-app purchases and where there's instances of bullying and abuse, even individuals who are looking to make contact with children and you want to avoid that and verify that users of those games are children or adults. Telecom is also exploring age verification, particularly related to access to apps and other communications. E-commerce company, and that's a broad category, but e-commerce companies that vend age-restricted items such as alcohol, tobacco, cannabis, guns. You have the gambling industry, which is predominantly 21 or above. In other markets, it's 18 or above. But we know in Europe, for example, that there are age restrictions in terms of how much you can bet. So the younger you are, the less you can bet. And then, of course, there's social media, which has been in the news. There was recently testimony from different social media companies that Congress was asking them questions. And in particular, they were asked about what techniques they're using for age verification. So to get back to your question, the regulators at the state level have started indicating that solutions such as document verification is a preferred solution, and that's to get access to adult content. In other areas, we're faced with this conundrum where you can open an account from social media sites at the age of 13, but it's really hard to verify the age of 13-year-olds, of minors, because on the other side, you have privacy restrictions that say you can't store the data for children. So many companies are facing this catch-22 of how can I verify the age of a minor when I'm not allowed to store the data of a minor? How do I do that? That's one of the issues that that companies are wrestling with today.
And I've seen a lot, particularly on that issue, but also kind of the First Amendment privacy, compliance, particularly obviously regulations are changing. And so, how does this impact kind of First Amendment, for example, the First Amendment and different regulatory and compliance mechanisms?
Yeah, let's start with Louisiana. Louisiana came out with regulations saying, we got to protect kids from adult content. And they passed a unanimous bill in Louisiana to restrict adult content and require age verification. And that has kicked off a number of Me Too state level regulations, essentially copying that bill and saying age verification must occur. And the primary solution used there is document verification. Somebody images their driver license or passport or a government issued identity document, and that gets authenticated. In some circumstances, that is also added to a selfie to make sure that that isn't a kid stealing dad's driver license. Mm-hmm. And so the First Amendment part of that and the pushback on that type of regulation and law is this idea that federally First Amendment rights are protected. And that means the ability to put out adult content and have that made visible, and that legislation like this restricts the First Amendment rights of companies who both produce and stream that type of content. And so we expect that the federal pushback to the state level regulations will be around First Amendment arguments.
Interesting. And wouldn't you say there are also issues, obviously adult content, I think is something else, but at some point when you guard or kind of protect, if you will, certain populations from certain types of information, I mean, isn't it impacting their First Amendment as well? Again, some of the pornography and things aside, but certain types of information that a state may say they want to keep out of certain populations' hands. Like, isn't there a First Amendment argument there as well?
You're absolutely right. So, if we put ourselves in the shoes of TikTok and TikTok users, there have been states that have come out with regulations saying TikTok is outlawed. You can't even use or access TikTok. And I call them out specifically because, I have two teenage kids. They love TikTok. They absolutely engage with it. And particularly during the pandemic, it was a huge source of connection with their friends. They would share videos. And heck, my kids themselves even made TikTok videos that they shared with their friends and other social media sites. And it's a huge form of self-expression and connection for young people. And to say that that has some nefarious purposes, and for that reason, we're going to restrict access to it, absolutely affects First Amendment rights in the United States. And it is part of our federal rights that that we can express ourselves and share that with the public. And so there is no clear guidance on where this will land. However, all the forces that are saying we should do age verification because there are sensitive populations that need to be protected or aren't mature enough yet to get access to certain social media, and that there's predators out there. There's legitimate reason why a business should either restrict or at least be aware of the age of a user.
And so how do companies remain compliant with these regulations that seem to be kind of never ending?
Yeah. So there is good news. There are instead of just enforcement actions, which, you know, let's start with COPPA. That's the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. It's the federal legislation that dictates what companies can and can't do related to child protection. And it's 20 plus years old. And the FTC has used that law, which is old, hasn't contemplated all of the ways that the internet has developed. And they've gone out and just hammered technology companies through enforcement actions. That's the primary way that that companies have understood whether or not they're compliant or they're not, according to COPPA. There are three federal bills waiting. They're in the wings, waiting for Democrats and Republicans to get together and pass legislation. COPPA 2.0, which is makes updates to that legislation. There's the Kids Online Safety Act. And then there's a American Data Privacy and Protection Act, which contemplates the way that people can have their data protected at the same time get access. So those three federal legislations would go a long way in helping companies understand what they can and can't do, but those are waiting. So in the interim, we have industry groups coming together and helping companies understand what their options are. And I think our audience here will nod their heads and agree that a risk-based approach makes sense, that you should think about age verification on a continuum. So the higher the risk, the higher the assurance that you should have on the age of, you know, the prospective user. So if it's low risk, let's say it's giving access to cartoons, right? Pretty innocent content. Mm-hmm. Then maybe the technique you use could be really low level assurance. And a low level assurance could include something like age estimation. So you can look at the patterns of behavior of a device and see that that device is just looking at websites like Disney or, you know, other really safe content. You profile the device and you can estimate, yeah, that looks like a kid, and we'll give access to cartoons. On the other end of the spectrum, if there is high risk, and that could be things like gaming or gambling or access to alcohol, tobacco, cannabis, guns, that you're going to have some techniques that are way more friction filled, but are going to produce a very high assurance of the age of the individual. And that's where you're looking at things like biometrics, document authentication, database checks, and others to feel confident that you have the right age.
So you mentioned three federal bills, and I know there's a lot percolating at the state level as well. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So in 2023, we saw 43 different states tackle bills and introduce bills, some of which were passed and are going into enforcement in 2024. So if you are a company operating in the United States and you have customers in any of these 43 states, which is likely, you should be paying attention to these age verification bills that are getting passed, many of which restrict access to adult content or require age verification to be in place. And so age verification in the adult online content space is a good example. These are the bills that are getting bipartisan support and passing quickly. And they are affecting people who want to have access to adult content, because many of the content providers are just ending their service in those states. So if you're in Louisiana, there is a requirement to do a document verification to get access to certain sites. And because of that legislation passing last year, those adult content sites have just stopped operating in those states. And other states have made similar moves when it comes to social media, requiring verification for users. So this is not going away. More laws are being proposed, more are being passed. And these restrictions are, and the types of guidance provided in those laws are pointing at one size fits all solutions. And we in the risk management space know that that there are nuances in that age verification and assurance should be on that continuum, you know, based on the amount of risk, the requirements that flow through to the institution on whether or not they're just doing a good enough check or they're actually assuring, you know, the age of the user.
And I think one thing that's super important that you pointed out, that if you're operating a platform that's invariably cross-border, that you're subject to obviously the federal bills, but also a lot of the state legislation. Jumping back though, with COPPA in mind, you know, what types of enforcement actions? What does this look like? How serious is this in terms of kind of fines and penalties when it comes to the enforcement of some of these laws?
Yeah. My kids during the pandemic were home. They were on their devices quite a bit more than we liked, but we didn't have great alternatives. And so YouTube in September of 2019 was one of the first biggest hits from the FTC in terms of an enforcement action. $170 million was enforced on YouTube for not having adequate controls and age verification requirements in place. And so Google is one of the first and biggest, and they took that hit right at the onset of the pandemic. And they're continuing to struggle with what to do when it comes to age verification. And here's a real conundrum, right? So you can have a Google account and you can verify yourself to be a YouTube user and what your age is. But somewhere in the ballpark of 40% of all YouTube videos are watched by people who don't have an account and they just have free access. So how do you verify each and every one of those individual viewing sessions when it isn't tied back to an account and somebody has, you know, gone through the process of providing data or verifying themselves? What does that do to YouTube's, you know, business model where almost half their content is viewed by people who haven't established an account? That's a tough one. And if you're in streaming and in media and in social media, where do you give access to people who don't have accounts? And what type of friction do you put in place, particularly for minors, where keeping their data, storing their data, particularly for verification purposes, is so sensitive? And then since 2019, you've seen a number of enforcement actions. You've seen it in the online gaming space. $275 million with Epic Gaming for not having the right protections and verification in place for children, particularly around online bullying and the bullying that can occur in those games.
I think it's a lesson, and the problem I think you articulated so well is, you know, there isn't a one size fits all, and so hopefully we can learn from these huge enforcement actions, but it doesn't seem like there's still the clearest of guidance. And so I'm curious, kind of raising the helicopter up a bit, what are the standards kind of in other places around the world? How are they approaching this?
Yeah, the UK and the European private and public entities are coming up with some options. And so I'll point our listeners to the British Standards Institute, which published a document called the Online Age Checking, Provision and Use of Online Age Check Services. It's a code of practice. And it defines levels of assurance based on what is called vectors of trust. So if you have, again, this idea of you have a low level need to verify age because your product or your service isn't restricted by particular regulations. And so the vector of trust can be something as simple as, well, you live in a particular geography. We do a little bit of lightweight geolocation, and it looks like there's no violations in terms of our terms and services. We'll give you access. Versus, products and services that are age restricted, that you are going to require a higher level standard. And as a business, this document dictates that you can demonstrate you're using reliable, commercially available standard products and services to verify the age of that individual based on that level of assurance. And many of our listeners will recognize the ISO standards. And there's a working draft document from the ISO organization around age assurance systems. And so I encourage everybody to go read that document, who cares about this. And they use a really practical, easy to understand approach related to what they describe four levels of assurance, ranging from basic all the way to strict. Now, many of us have gone to a website where you see self-declaration, right? So I am shopping for a family member and I want to buy them their favorite alcohol. I go online and I want to access, those alcohol sales ads, and I see a self-declaration. Are you 18 and above? And I say, sure. Well, age verification in the modern era, self-declaration is going to change. That will no longer be good enough for those websites. And we're going to now move up the spectrum to things that are higher assurance, and things like ID verification, liveness detection and biometrics, the database checks, or even the strictest verification that ISO recommends, which is the use of multi-factor, at least two independent and distinct verification methods in place for the access to those very strict assurance levels.
So one of the things that, there are a couple of themes. One of the things that I hear and I agree with and I think makes sense to most people is that we need to protect children from pornography, drugs, alcohol, cannabis, certain types of dating platforms, et cetera. The question I guess I have, and potentially more along the lines of what you would predict and where you would see this going, really any platform that's connecting people, even if it's social media, it could be for housekeeping, childcare, you name it. There seems to be a level of age verification that's going to be required no matter what the substance is. And so I was curious kind of your thoughts. I know we're tackling this now as it relates to mostly pornography and drugs and things like that, and alcohol. But where do you see this going, considering the internet, really any application that can connect people really has the ability to, be leveraged for nefarious purposes and by bad actors.
You're absolutely right. And that goes to my opening statement that any of us who have launched a business that operates online can no longer assume that users or even suppliers can remain anonymous. That anonymity is gone. And that's because federal legislation is so gummed up that we have these states that have come up with their regulations and their requirements. And they have made this patchwork that makes it really challenging for a business to operate, at scale in the US. Some businesses have just decided that a particular state is not worth it, and they don't want to operate, and they're going to forego those users. And so they just turn it off in that state. But in the long run, I think institutions have to adopt this idea that age verification is a requirement, and things like self-declaration will not be good enough. That checkbox is insufficient, particularly as you see these enforcement actions, and that they should build in this concept of age assurance based on risk. So if it's a social media platform that allows young people on, they have to wrestle with how do you maintain the privacy that is guaranteed for minors in this country, according to COPPA, at the same time that you're verifying ages. If there are restrictions on content or access to particular services or payments in that platform based on age. So one is maybe a mental or philosophy change that this is inevitable. And two, I think that there should be a private and public coming together. I think if there's federal legislation that clarifies what companies can and can't do, that is one of the most important things for, you know, companies that work nationally. And so there should be some coming together on what are the right tools, the right techniques, in ways that you can do this age verification without running afoul of the privacy laws.
Right. And two things, I guess, jump out at me there. Number one is, you know, anytime legislation or a government is going to prescribe a baseline acceptable type of age verification, you know, as you've mentioned a few times, you really need kind of a sliding scale based on the risk. And so if the legislation is requiring document verification, for example, that may work in certain circumstances, but be insufficient in other circumstances. And then two, the other part of this is technology's changing. And so it's almost as if the legislation ink dries, and there could be, you know, I don't know, a new type of platform that's not contemplated, new type of age verification technology, new, you know, technologies altogether, the metaverse, I mean, you name it, right? It seems to me that the moment that the ink dries, we have to revisit the problem and the potential solutions, and therefore that private and public consortium or, you know, cross-functional problem solving, I think is so key.
You're absolutely right. And I couldn't have said it better, Jeremy. This is really complex. And anytime that you have regulators, legislators point at a particular technology as the way you solve a problem, of course, that becomes obsolete. The moment that law or that rule gets enforced, right? And we know technology is changing too fast. You know, one of the threats that we hear about on a week in, week out basis is the advance of artificial intelligence. So You do a selfie, is that selfie real? How can we rely on selfies anymore? There is a technology standard out there right now for age verification. It's age estimation using selfies. And you see a lot of providers that are able to predict within a year or two using an image whether or not that user is 13 or 16 or 18 or 21. And on the outside, you have technology that is now making it even more challenging to look at an image and understand if it's real, legitimate, or produced by artificial intelligence. So technology and the tools used by individuals to get around protections, that is advancing faster than the regulators, the legislators, the fraud management teams. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? We have to have frameworks, and these frameworks have to be adaptable based on technology. And as long as somebody is following the framework, then we should expect the regulators to collaborate as opposed to come out and play whack-a-mole with because in many cases, you see companies struggling with how do they keep your business up and running? How do you not introduce friction to where people just go away and stop using or stop interacting and you can remain compliant? Big challenge.
Yeah, huge, huge. The one, if there is a, I mean, there are certainly many silver linings here, but I will say the one silver lining here is I feel that, 20 years ago, most governments, regulators missed the boat on regulating technology, the internet, understanding kind of the full scope, both good and bad, of technology. And I do feel that this time around, with AI and how we're looking at age verification, that there is a lot of attention paid to it. I don't know that we're going to get the right answer, particularly if governments are left to their own devices. But I do think that I feel that there is a lot more focus. There's a lot more partnership. There are a lot more private, public working groups, organizations. And so I hope the outcome is better than the first time around, because I feel like there was a complete failure of leadership. When the internet came out and it was a wild west for so long, and now we're dealing with that.
You're absolutely right. And there's a role for regulators, the government, to play. But, you know, when we're launching these businesses, these marketplaces, these media companies, it's also the right thing to do. And I say that because so much of success in a marketplace has to do with trust. Mm-hmm. If my child asks me, hey, I want to download this app, and I do my investigations on that app, what's the reputation of that app, that environment? When you look at something like Craigslist, on purpose, they have not invested in high diligence, high assurance verifications for, you know, users and posters. It's just a board. Mm-hmm. And the trust of that environment versus the trust that you have in certain other places. I think most of us recognize high trust environments have these checks in place with or without the government, because, you know, they allow people to feel confident in their interactions or in their purchases, and they're not going to be exploited.
Yep. I think that's it. I think when people realize the value of trust and the need for it, I think that a lot of these problems get solved through private industry ahead of needing regulation, or certainly have the capacity to. But when, I think that takes the consumers to kind of vote with their feet and their demand for the trust, or walking away, right? If they don't find the trust that they're looking for the apps or the platforms for their children or their family, et cetera. All extremely interesting, and on some levels, very, very deep. And on other levels, it just seems obvious, but it's just one of those issues that, you know, you don't dare get into a conversation at a cocktail party because, somebody thinks they have the answer, and then they meet one of us, and they realize just how difficult this can be and how many tentacles are on this. So I appreciate you joining me. I can't thank you enough for sharing so much valuable information about this super, super interesting and timely topic of age verification. It'll be certainly interesting to see how this all unfolds as it's doing real time, especially in the US, but all over the world. So Gary, thank you very much. I really appreciate you joining me.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you for tuning into the Platform Podcast. You can check out more episodes at marketplacerisk.com, along with information about our conferences, virtual events, and resources designed to help marketplaces and digital platforms successfully launch and grow. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Marketplace Risk to stay up to date on upcoming programs, events, and important news.